Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
This is Zach Noe Towers, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast, Naked Edition.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 84. I am hanging out downtown, or I guess not downtown, but we're in the Grove.
Close.
With Zach Noe Towers, right?
You nailed it.
Yes.
You're the first person to ever say my name right. Those three letters, N-O-E, really trip people up a lot.
So Zach, so you're in town for, you got a couple things coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So you got Pride Festival, that's be today, if you're listening to this, right?
Yes, Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday, yeah. I'm doing a 30-minute set, downtown St. Louis, on the Bud Light stage.
Yeah.
From 8:30 to 9. So you should come down and check it out.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal, man. That's it's exciting. Like it's a
yeah.
It's how now did you like was that some kind of connection through being from St. Louis?
Yeah, it definitely helped. One of my producer partners is on one of the boards, and he sent my tape in. Just to be reviewed, he thought it could be a good idea just to get some exposure. It really wasn't even on my radar, and they liked the tape, and they didn't have entertainment for a certain block of time, so I kind of just got, squished right in there.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's going to happen right before it turns into, a dance party.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's a pretty prime spot. Should be pretty happening about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 8:39. Yeah, it's Friday night, so it's like the opening. I don't think they've ever had entertainment on the opening night, but it'll be the first. My only worry now is just I'm terrified I'm going to offend people. But hopefully they've been drinking and they put the kids to bed by the time I get on stage.
Yeah, I was kind of talking off mic a little bit about my experience last year. It was my first Pride Festival to see. Fortune Feimster down there, and I gotta say, I don't think you have to worry about offending anybody there. It was a very interesting crowd last year, and they were on board for about everything. Like Fortune was saying all kinds of crazy stuff, and they everybody seemed to be eating it up.
Definitely, so. Fortune's great. It's hard. Fortune's one of those people. It's hard to not like her.
Yeah.
Because she's smiley and she just knows how to make a great joke either at her own expense or politely at someone else's. But I've never seen her say anything that lost a crowd before.
Right.
So.
Yeah, she's great, and it's exciting to watch her develop as keeps getting bigger and
absolutely.
Every year and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I saw her, like, half an hour special on Comedy Central and things, and, but yeah, I'm a big fan. I really like her, her, I can relate a lot to her, like, fat jokes and stuff and that she makes, and, so.
Yeah, she's just got, yeah. She's so sweet and funny, and, yeah, she's got a great view on it, you know?
Right.
If you can make a joke about yourself, usually everyone can appreciate it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
So you, so we said a little bit there, but you, you are from St. Louis, but you're living in L.A. now?
I live in L.A., yeah. I born and raised in St. Louis, then went to Indiana University for college, and then right after that, I came back to St. Louis for a summer to bartend. Irrelevant. at a gay bar, though, and I'm doing Pride. It kind of all makes sense. And then, I've been out in L.A. for 6 years.
Yeah.
It's great. It's,
yeah.
It's a hustle.
Yeah.
But you see the little things happen, you know, over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. It keeps it exciting.
Do you go up to a lot of mics out there? Or?
All the time. That's the thing with LA. There's probably an open mic going on just about any point in the day.
Yeah.
Any point in the day, if not more. Like, prime hours from, like, 5 to 1 a.m., you probably have, like, 6 mics to choose from at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But stage time is so coveted. Mics are 3 minutes, you know, and then if you're lucky, you get an 8-minute set on a book show. And so it's a hustle.
Yeah.
You just really have to, like, be on top of yourself.
Sure.
All the time.
I see these lineups, like, I follow a lot of the guys, a lot of my favorites on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and everything, and they'll, like, post a picture of a lineup for the night at whatever the Comedy Store and stuff like that, and it's like, it's just insane the amount of talent that walks in the door, like, it's just like
it's unreal, and it's great because once you get to a certain point, you're on shows with Eliza Schlesinger, Damon Wayans, like some like icons of comedy, and some just like Kyle Kinane, like.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Kinane bumped me one time and did, like, 20 minutes that brought the house down.
Yeah.
And then they were like, and now Zach, no towers. You know, like, it's just, you have to, it's like sink or swim. Like, if you're not good, you're going to, like, get pushed to the back really fast.
Yeah.
But it's awesome because you get to see these professional, amazing comics work out new material every night.
Yeah, the voice of Comedy Central.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Kyle Kinane is so funny.
Yeah. I missed him. He was just in town a bit ago at the Ready Room.
Okay.
And I missed him that time, but I met him at the Firebird one night, and he's a super talented guy.
Nice guy, too.
Yeah, really nice.
Really laid back.
I bought his, drawing a blank on the name, but
one of the albums.
His first album, Death of the Party, right?
Oh, something, yeah, like I think
that?
Yeah,
something like
sounds
that
sounds right. Yeah.
I got him. I bought it on vinyl, and I got him to autograph it and stuff. So it was cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's where we met. We met at a comedy show here about a year ago, I guess.
Yeah. Kelsey McClure runs Comedy in the Loop.
Yeah. It was Foam, right?
Yeah, and Kevin White was on it.
Kevin White ended up, like, ripping his shirt off or something and trying to get the crowd going.
I felt bad about that show because it was the first show I'd done in St. Louis, so, and Foam's a small bar.
Right.
A lot of family and friends came.
Yeah.
And they put me up close to the beginning, and then when I was done, it was hard for the other, for comics to, like, get their attention back. So I kind of felt like a dick.
Yeah.
But
happened.
It happened. Yeah. It's
you can't help it.
Yeah. And
people want to come see you. But no, I think there was definitely, you could feel it when, you know, it was pretty evident that you had a lot of friends and family there to in the audience. But it was you know, that's cool to get that support though.
Yeah.
At the same time, but yeah, it also kind of kind of a bummer for some of the other guys, though. But.
The headliner, who, I can't remember who was the...
Was that Sean Patton?
Yep, it was Sean Patton.
Yeah.
And he was great. Oh. He brought it back, and he was...
It was one of my favorite moments of a show, and it's stuff that you only get at a bar show like that.
Right.
You know, because I saw him at Funny Bone in a completely different hour of material.
Sure.
You know, it's like he's, you know, he's got his bar set that he was having fun with,
uh-huh.
and then, you know, when he's going to do a proper hour show...
He's on a track.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And kind of more sticks to, like, the album, you know, a little more or whatever, that kind of stuff. But either way, still... Guy is a pro. He's so good. And but at that foam show, he
went out.
Yeah, he goes out the side door for some kind of effect of a joke. I forget the whole gist of the joke, but ends up getting locked out.
Yeah.
And then like he's like stomping down the street, throwing his arms up, screaming, and comes in the back door and like goes right back up to the mic and like nothing happened. And I was just like, it was so funny.
It was great, yeah. It was a genuine moment of comedy.
Right.
And those headliners, yeah, they're full of them, you know?
Yeah.
They're just funny people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's quite successful right now. He's been doing that Best Bars in America show. I haven't got to see it, but I'm aware of it. And,
yeah.
And I don't have the Esquire channel that it's on.
Sure. Oh. But, I gave up on cable a long time ago.
But I listened to his co-host on that show, Jay Larson.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to him on his podcast, The Crab Feast. Him and Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler do together. And so they're always talking about Best Bars in America show stories and things.
Sure.
But,
a wealth of stories.
Yeah. So you were coming in. Also, for Saturday night, you have a movie premiere?
Yeah, it's a short film. It's the first thing I've written and directed. And yeah, it's just like a 10-minute little dark comedy called Killer Friends. It's about three friends who decide to kill their fourth friend on a camping trip. It's not necessarily like a news story, I guess, but I think it's a funny, you know, concept.
Yeah.
Killing one of your best friends.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, because you can't stand them. And then because I'm obnoxious,
yeah.
I made myself the friend that they're going to kill. but it turned out pretty great. I'm pretty proud of it. So yeah, we shot for 3 days outside of like San Diego, outside and in the woods, which are like two things that you're never supposed to do when you're filming. Like, if you can, you're supposed to stay inside, like, or near electricity, and we didn't do that. We went outside in the middle of the woods. But, yeah, we're entering into festivals right now, and, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of crazy how quick things could snowball out of that, though, you know? Like, I mean, how there's all kinds of films started... You know, even like a big fan, but also I just recently saw him live. But Kevin Smith, you know, started Clerks on like a little independent thing, and then all of a sudden,
he's a household, a household name, but pretty much a household name, I just heard The Rock like did a short film like at the beginning of his career that did like well on the festival circuit, and then. Got a call from, like, Steven Spielberg, like, 6 months later. And, like, that was, like, that. So I'm just going to do that, I think.
Sure.
Just wave by my phone.
Just wait for Steven Spielberg to call.
Text message from J.J. Abrams, like, you are it. yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Did
you, you shoot it pretty, low budget, I guess, I'm assuming?
No.
No?
Well, sort of. The budget, I think, came to about $8,000, which is a lot of money, totally, but, like, not a lot to, like, make a film of any sort. And, like, from the beginning, I didn't want it to look crappy, because you see so many web series and shorts that just look... Like, people do them on their iPhones, which can work for a certain genre, but, like, I wanted it to, like, look legit. So we shot on like a Canon 1DC in 4K, which is fancy talk for like theater quality.
Right.
And we had like these guys, the Sound Brothers. They're like up and coming Sound Brothers in LA. We had them work on it for sound, and we had a gaffer do great light. She lit the world, which in the middle of the woods requires just like huge lights, and like I kind of forced us to go all out, but I'm happy. I'm glad I did it.
Right.
Because what's the point of spending $4,000 if you're going to have, like, a shiny turd, you know? Like,
yeah.
Do the $8,000 and make it, like, something that people are like, oh, dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy, you know Josh Arnold?
I don't think so.
He's a local guy here. And anyway, he's just one of my favorite comics to watch. He's so funny. But he, I guess he had a part in helping write afterwards, but he was approached to star in this film, and I don't really know all the behind the scenes, like who wrote and directed and all that kind of, but I went to go watch the premiere they did at the Tivoli.
I used it in the Tivoli, yeah.
And they, it was, man, now I'm gonna drop this. I think it's like the imposters or impersonators.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was. I knew it was something there.
Yeah.
And it was like they were like superhero kind of knockoffs, like kids party entertainer kind of characters.
Okay. So like, superheroes or
yeah.
Okay.
So like he looks kind of like Superman, wears the outfit, but he's just like, you know, whatever I forget what his name, you know, like
super person or something. Yeah.
You know, something like along those lines. Uh-huh. So, kind of a turn of events, they end up becoming real superhero, kind of having to fight crime kind of deal, and
like Kick-Ass.
Yeah, so it was sort of Kick-Ass kind of vibe to it, and it was a little kind of dark, and but it was fun. It was just it was a good time, but it was just a lot of fun to see my friends, you know, acting
in
these roles and stuff.
Yeah, on screen. Yeah.
Sitting in
In the Tivoli, yeah, for sure.
So that was my first time there.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never. I mean, I obviously drove by 100 times going to the pageant. And
they do like cult classic comedy movies sometimes. Sure. I think too, like Goonies at Midnight. Oh, I feel like they do.
I see on the
marquee.
Yeah. That they have like the Rocky Horror Picture Show quite often too, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of great things going on there. It's just
hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I mean, I live out Wentzville, so there's a if I was more in the neighborhood, it might be, you know, it's kind of hard for me to justify driving down to watch
it's like Rocky a midnight Pit. Movie. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I'm down in the area a lot for other things. Just nothing's drawn me in there yet until that. But it was it was fun. They were part of the St. Louis Film Festival.
I was gonna say St. Louis International Film Festival. I just submitted my thing to that. So, that's the venue you saw it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they do a couple of different spots, but that's where that film was at, and they did a little kind of red carpet kind of thing,
like Q&A type. When was it, like last year?
Yeah, this was
Was it received pretty well, or like,
it helped, like I said, that so it had Josh star, you know, was like the lead role, and then another St. Louis comic, Frankie Chubb, played kind of a Arrow character.
I'm gonna check these guys out.
Yeah, they're all been on my show too. So if you,
I'll go back
you can do your homework and go
Frankie
back.
Frankie Chubb, he said, that's a great name.
Yeah,
it's
such a. and Andrew Topping was another guy that got to. So they're all three St. Louis comics and a couple other actors, of course, and then but. So the crowd that I watched it with was pretty much all St. Louis comics. Shit. So we were all
digging it.
Yeah, we were all cracking up at, you know, laughing at our friends up there. So so that was really great. I mean, I had a really good time.
Was it a feature?
Yeah. So it was like one of the you know, main things on their for the film festival. And like I said, the guys, a couple of the guys got up there and did some like Q&A stuff. Like I said, and it was just really neat to kind of see them get the all that exposure. And
absolutely.
So hopefully you'll be back here when the film festival comes back around. And
that'd be bomb. St. Louis International Film Festival is like, I didn't know until I started doing research. It's like a reputable film festival. It's like it's really recognized amongst like the top film. And there are I had no idea how many film festivals were going on constantly like around the world. But there are a million, and St. Louis is like one of the ones to get into.
Nice.
So good for St. Louis and good for the impersonators.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I don't know how you would. I guess just, you know, keep doing it, keep plugging away, and eventually get a reputation or something. But
right.
But I mean, St. Louis has just got tons of different arts. You know, it's like, I mean, whether it's comedy or music or, you know,
everything. Fine art. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
There's all kinds of super talented people in this town, and
St. Louis. Like, I've been away now for a long time, but every time I come back, St. Louis has gotten like cooler and cooler and cooler.
Yeah.
And I hear about it in LA and in write-ups, like the 10 best like bar cities, the 10 best like jazz like, you know, nooks, and like St. Louis like it like pops up on more and more of them, and I'm like,
sure.
Like I always knew St. Louis had it in it. You know, it's
there's it's fun. I've talked to us, you know, several musicians through this show and things where, like, you know, we kind of talk about how St. Louis is kind of bubbling under as this kind of hot spot for music right now. Like, I feel like, you know, that the town could be the next Austin or Nashville or even Chicago or something. Like, you know, that for years we were kind of just a flyover town kind of thing. People skip right over St. Louis,
right.
And, you know, went to Kansas City or whatever, you know, it's like
Chicago, yeah,
all around it, but nobody bothered stopping through St. Louis. And but yeah, I think things are really, I mean, we've got a lot of great venues. I mean, we're right down here in the Grove. It was Bootleg and Ready Room and Demo, and you know, a lot of
the house we're sitting in right now, it's my Nana's. It's like built in 1885. She was like born and raised here. My mom now, you know, lives here as well. But this didn't used to be like a coveted, and now it's like, mm-hmm. like the gayborhood is down here, like Atomic Cow. Yeah, it's awesome. Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. It's been very cool to watch happen.
For sure. I'm down here going to all the different shows. Like I said, at Ready Room and Demo and stuff, there's constantly great shows coming through town. And I used to go to the Gramophone a lot. And they've kind of turned it more towards just a sandwich shop.
My buddy was like, we have to go get sandwiches and beer at Gramophone. Yeah. I was like, I was confused for like a second, but then I was like, okay, like sandwiches.
Yeah, so Gramophone really used to be just pretty much all performance there. And now I think they took I haven't been in there since to try the sandwiches. They started the sandwiches when they were still doing shows. So I have... but not since they've remodeled it and everything. But they took a lot of like the stage and like the curtain and a lot of that kind of stuff, and everything's been moved to the Bootleg at Atomic Cowboy now.
Okay.
So they opened a brand new venue with a lot of the same stuff that was at the Gramophone. So really it's the Gramophone just in another
different venue, different name.
And then Gramophone does part-time shows now. They do like lunch kind of shows,
full-time sandwiches.
So it's kind of crazy to think that sandwiches are going to sell better in this town than music, but
for the moment, music will win.
Sure. Obviously once, now that it all starts to make sense, it wasn't like they were just closing Gramophone to make sandwiches. There was the fact that they were opening Bootleg. And I think they're all...
It's an expansion.
Yeah, they're all like partners anyway, so it's all the same. I think it's all the same owner or however it works out. But they... so once... At the time, I was like super bummed because Gramophone was one of my favorite spots to go. And then, you know, and then they're here, they're closing, and it's like, they didn't really explain it fully at the time, like, we're moving everything over here.
Right.
So,
probably for that allure, that like, oh, but try this new place,
Yeah, and that's the Atomic Cowboy's been there for a while, but now they've kind of added, like, they put another room on to the side there, and that's the bootleg.
Okay.
So it's own separate little.
I don't know if I've been here since then. Was it like
bootleg's only been maybe March?
Oh yeah.
Or
nope.
Something like that. February. I don't know. Something. It's only been open for a few months now. So.
But they still do shows in the back of Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Still do some stuff over Cowboy. More of everything's been at the bootleg though, and then like they do. They've been doing some outside shows there at Cowboy.
Okay.
What they just had the last weekend was the Riverfront Times Music Festival thing. So they had the whole
strip. Yeah,
like, the whole strip was full of music all day long.
My poor Nana. This place vibrates when like Atomic Cowboy is going full blast.
I know they. I mean, they had music, you know, all day long. There's this crazy. That's the thing, like, it was really exciting to see that list printed up because almost, it was several of the winners have been on the show. There was Matthias and the Pirates, some Letters to Memphis, or Letter to Memphis, Bruiser Queen, and anyway,
yeah.
The list goes on.
Yeah,
but a bunch of them been on my show, and it's been exciting, and but there's all the nominees also, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of people I haven't heard of, and it's like, I gotta go do my homework and get these people on the show.
Get them on the show, yeah.
So that was
get them all and get it's good.
Right. So, that was what was cool for me about that. So hopefully a lot of them will be coming up on the show in the rest of the year. And
absolutely.
Yeah, man. So you were saying you... You went to, what did you say, Webster Grove?
Webster Grove's High School, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, did you know then you want to do comedy, or?
I always did, I did the Muni, I was a musical theater kid since I was young, so, like, I performed, at the Muni since I was, like, 10, and then I studied it in college. I went to college for musical theater, but I've always wanted to do, like, television, film. And I've always loved comedy. Mm-hmm. Comedy's been, like, the forefront. It took me moving to L.A. I guess I had a hint of knowing I wanted to do it. But then, like, seeing the stand-up scene and, like, going to shows. And, like, I was like, I can do this. Like, and it's such... In L.A. or New York, I'm assuming, it's such a great way to get your foot in the door as, you know, a show creator, a writer, film, television... If you can provide, you know, like, a career for yourself as a stand-up, it speaks volumes for you before you even walk into a casting situation.
Yeah.
So, like, it's exciting that I'm getting to, like, perform live, make people laugh, and, like, I'm making a name for myself, you know, as someone who's funny in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's no easy task. I mean, there's... ton of people out there trying to do the same thing, so many people to get noticed,
yeah. Every day. Every day people leave, and every day twice as many come, it feels like. Yeah. But with comedy, you have to be in it because you love comedy, or you don't last. People, you know, you fade away. But if you love comedy, like, there's a place for you. You know.
So you would say now that comedy is the, you know, the that's the desired job, you know, to make the career out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, ideally, I want to do, like Sarah Silverman's career to me is kind of perfect, mm-hmm. or Amy Schumer even. They have, Amy Schumer especially, a strong touring road stand-up career, but she's writing film, sure. She has a sketch show.
Yeah.
Like, that girl is killing it.
Right.
And, that's, yeah.
That is the nice thing about comedy, that there's, you're not... I always go back to the Mitch Hedberg joke about, you know, how people always look at comedians and, like, you know, want them to do more. And it's like, you know, he's like, it's not like you go to the a great, you know, cook or whatever. And you're like, yeah, but can you farm?
Yeah, right. exactly.
So, but that is kind of the fun thing about comedy, just where you don't get kind of burned out, maybe, to where you can constantly, you know, if you want to get into TV and movies and... you know, doing all the, or doing you know, improv and sketch and do, you know, there's all sorts of various things that you can still do in the comedy realm.
Absolutely.
And so it's a
you pigeonhole yourself a little bit as being in comedy as a genre. Like, I feel like it's harder for comedic actors or comedians to go into like drama, but that's fine. You know, there's so many different forms of comedy that, you know,
right,
you would never get bored. Sure. You know?
I mean, it's a little off subject, but I was listening to Howard Stern's show last night, and people that would listen probably sick of me mentioning it, but I'm a big fan. I love his stuff, it's crazy some of the stuff that, you know, that he said that happens on that show, because like I was listening last night, and he had Arnold Schwarzenegger on, and they were going through his kind of his list of movies and how he got started and all these things, and you know, the hard work that got him to where he was at, and you know, he's telling us a story about like when he was like 15 years old, like he was got like obsessed about bodybuilding, and his mom like said something about, he said a story about his mother called the doctor because she was worried about him, because like you know, he's a 15-year-old boy and he's got all these half-naked men on his walls, and like, you know, and he's only working out and like doing all this stuff, so like not typical stuff. And so anyway, but it was, he had that drive and motivation to constantly be working at it and get bigger, you know, get to where he wanted to be at, and then you know, ultimately being a Mr. Universe thing, and then it gets into movies. And but he did, so they were talking about like Terminator and how that movie was, you know, even before that, some of the movies were huge. And then as he took a chance on Terminator, and like he wanted to do more lines of that, and like they, you know, and they, because he originally was for another part, and they were like, no, we want you to be, yeah. And like, he's like, well, it's only 27 lines or something. He's like, no, we think it'd be good.
Yeah, it's you, yeah.
Turns out, you know, it'd be great. Well, where I was getting at is he was talking about doing, Twins with Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
So like he took a chance, he was trying to get do some branch out instead of always just being this action, you know, guy, and he wanted to do comedy, and so they finally get they put him in that role, and they said he made like most of his money on Twins. Like he made more money than Terminator and all this stuff that he did, like just from doing Twins, because that comedy was a huge movie for him. Like,
sure.
And, but you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, just getting into comedy acting and people, you're talking about how being you know, doing drama and stuff. But you know, he's doing action stuff,
and he got into comedy.
So.
Yeah.
But
what about Jingle All the Way? How much did he make for Jingle All the Way?
I don't think they got to that part. They did talk about Last Action Hero.
And oh, Last Action Hero was good.
Well, that's the thing. Like, apparently, at box office, it was kind of a
dud.
Yeah, like, because so it didn't do well. But Robin on the show, Robin Quivers, she's like defending it. She's like, I love that movie. It's such a good, you know, and all stuff.
I have a fond memory of it in my head.
Right.
I'd be afraid to rewatch it, I guess, and be like, oh, this is garbage.
It's one of those, like, you know, I guess it kind of pokes fun at the whole. Action.
Yeah, so
kind of, there's a lot of like jokes within the movie, kind of thing. I don't know.
It's aware of itself.
Yeah, kind of one of those kind of things. But I don't know.
Junior, wasn't he pregnant in Junior?
Yeah.
That was a ballsy move.
Yeah. Well, the big, I don't know. So I did a little research after I read it, but he said on the show that he's been approached, I guess they have an idea, but they're doing to do a Twins sequel, to where
currently
and to find like the script idea that they have is where Arnold and Danny find out they have a third brother, and it's Eddie Murphy. So,
I hate to naysay things, but that sounds like a hot mess.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd watch it just because.
Of course,
it sounds interesting. But yeah, I don't know, because there was like some. Apparently, it was in his book that like. Because I googled it trying to see if there was on IMDb or whatever.
Oh, like there's pre-production.
Yeah,
something,
if there was anything like, you know, what the, if I could find anything, but. There was something I guess he mentioned it something in his book about this same script or whatever in like 2002. So Howard thought he was getting like an exclusive, like that Arnold was like breaking news right here, like that we're going to do this movie. But it's, you know, like he said, it put in his book like in 2002, so who knows, or 2012, sorry, not 2000.
Oh, no, it's like that was 13 years. Sorry, sorry.
No, 2012, 3 years ago. So, and you know, so who knows if it's going to happen or not, but apparently Ivan Reitman, who did the original, like is on board from Arnold's story, so we'll see what happens.
But, it'd be a cash cow. I mean, by nature.
But and then be exciting if they could get Eddie Murphy to be funny again because his career is kind of
not funny anymore.
Did you see him on that SNL 40?
A clip, yeah. Yeah. And it's a bummer.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it was like I don't know. It was weird. Like Chris Rock comes out and does this huge speech, hyping it up that you know Eddie's the man and saying all these really nice things and how much everybody looked up to Eddie, and then like Eddie comes out and he's just thanks. And
yeah,
it's like when
Britney Spears came back with Gimme More. Yeah. Do you remember that at the VMAs? Oh, yeah. They basically just walked her around the stage like a prop. That's sad.
I will never forget that song. That always because I what's that? I can't remember the guy's name with it. That guy that did that video where. You know, her song is called Give Me More for a Reason or something.
No, yeah.
It went, like, viral. He's, like, crying.
Oh, Chris Crocker.
Yeah, Chris Crocker.
Yeah, leave Britney alone.
Yeah. So that's whenever you hear Give Me
that
More.
That kid is, like, around L.A.
Yeah.
He's smart.
I guess, like, it was just a kind of a character or
it
whatever.
Absolutely. Was.
Put him on the map.
Duped us all.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But, no, it was... I'll never forget, like, that whole thing, like, just leave Britney alone. Yeah.
Sobbing uncontrollably. That's good. That's good acting.
Yeah, got people to know his name, so. Everybody was talking about him for a little bit.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, he got interviewed, he was on Wendy Williams, probably, for sure.
Sure. How you doing?
Chilling her view of potato, though.
yeah, man. What else we got coming up that you wanna looking forward to?
Like project wise,
sure, whatever.
I'm staffed on a show that's in development. It's a cartoon called Anti-Colony. It's about two gay ants who are gonna overthrow the queen and like pose as her. But it's being shopped around basically right now. It's really funny though.
Yeah.
It's just like two like absurd gay ants. Like yeah, it's ridiculous. Hopefully it ended up on something like Adult Swim or something like that.
So they're trying to make it a series.
Like one of those like 15-minute segment shows.
That's there's a market out there for. I mean, there's a lot of great shows on that Adult Swim and stuff.
And
that's kind of the perfect thing for that 15 minutes like that, like because
just dumb,
sure,
irreverent,
and people don't have the attention span to sit there very long anymore. So
nope,
if you can come out and knock out a little 15 minute short like that and have every week or
just
a couple times a week or whatever it is, fun. Yeah.
Like since Robot Chicken, I think people and YouTube in general just lost their attention spans.
Right.
Cartoons are tough. Bob's Burgers, though, I could watch hours. Do you watch Bob's Burgers?
No, I don't.
Oh, really?
I don't watch much TV at all.
Really?
I'm either doing this or working or going to live shows. You know, comedy club or pageant for shows or whatever.
Oh, good for you.
So I do a lot of live entertainment. I don't
deal with that.
I mean, I don't have I've got my DVR and at home, and so the stuff I do watch, tend to fast forward through. I record Fallon and stuff every night.
Sure.
Also
a version of live.
Sure.
You know?
But there's a, I mean, I like like Law and Order SVU and
interesting
Chicago PD and Chicago Fire and
okay.
So watch those.
The dramas.
Yeah, I like
the dramas.
But it's like there's a lot I don't like, but they're for whatever reason I connect with I relate to those characters, or not really, but I like them characters and stuff on there and stuff.
The homicidal
like that. Yeah.
Maniacs.
Yeah. You know, the Olivia Benson.
And, sure.
So yeah. That was one I kind of for SVU is like, I think I started like, I was probably bored on a Saturday or whatever and watching like reruns on USA one time when I was sick or something like that probably, and you know when they run like 14 of them in a row,
sure.
And just, then I kind of got
I'm hooked yeah, for life now.
So, yeah, I started watching then I ended up getting I worked evenings at the time, so it was like. I always missed it when it was actually airing, and then I finally got a DVR, caught up with the times, and
yeah.
And able to record the new ones and stuff. But
thank God for DVR. I'm yeah. still on that. I feel like I fell in that generation where, like, I totally understand how DVR works, but I always forget to fast forward through commercials.
Sure.
I'm like just like happy to be watching it, like when it's not programmed mm-hmm. to be watched, you know. And then
yeah.
my dumb ass watches every single commercial.
Yeah, well, I don't do any of the big ones. Like, I just now got Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Careful, it's a slippery slope.
Oh, so Stacy's, my wife, she's like, you know, all in on it. She's been, I think she knocked out like all the episodes of Walking Dead on there already, and like, she's been watching like all these. I think she's like on, almost caught up on.
Orange is the New Black. They're all right there. It's
yeah.
like the best and the worst thing to have ever happened to how we watch television.
Yeah.
But I'm guilty of it.
Sure.
Like, Orange is the New Black was dropped early. Like, it like, surprised us all.
Yeah.
And within, like, 13 minutes, I knew about it, and I was on episode, like, you know, 3.
Oh,
it's just too. It's too hard, and it's too hard to say no when they're right there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't do the. I never tried. I don't know if I can't say I don't like them, but I just never even watched an episode of like Game of Thrones or any of that stuff. So like,
I tried Game of Thrones,
yeah.
and I watched a season and a half, and I still did not know what
yeah.
the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Every now and then they'd kill someone important, and I'd be like, I know he meant something.
Sure.
Don't know what it means to the rest of the episode, but.
Yeah. I started watching, when we got the Netflix, I started checking out Breaking Bad, because everybody was talking about that for a while. And I watched a few episodes, and I get, like, it's fun.
You get it, yeah.
But like, it's just, I think I watched like 3, and I haven't been back yet, so it's not like a.
Everyone with me told me was like, just give it to like season 3. It's like,
yeah.
No, I'm not giving something 3 seasons before I get into it. Like, that's ridiculous.
I forget who it was. Somebody said something like that. You know how like, you know, okay, I can handle devoting an hour to watching this, but I can't. That's 120, you know, hours or something.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
For something I'm lukewarm about,
yeah.
I don't even date guys that long. It's like, oh, just go out with them 4 times and you'll start to like them. It's like, no, absolutely
not. You gotta get to know them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
he's
exactly.
Kind of an asshole for a few
yeah.
minutes.
But then you really dig how
yeah.
how crazy he is. It's like, no. Get off my DVR.
I don't know. So I've told many stories on here. Most of my time is out going to shows. I super into music, man. It's my life. That's and comedy. Like,
yeah.
I go to a ton of comedy shows as well.
Music's number one.
Yeah.
Comedy.
I would say it's 50-50.
Which is stronger in St. Louis, music?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great music venues and a lot of great bands, and I think there's, obviously, I think there's probably more bands than, you know, known comics around town. I mean, there's a lot of people, like, I'm sure you're probably familiar, but, like, St. Louis had a real good thing going a few years back with Tommy Johnigan,
Nikki.
Tommy Jonagan is so funny.
Oh, the guy's so great. Yeah. He's got a...
He's like three albums out, and they're all just...
Yeah.
Laugh out loud.
He's got a pilot. Hopefully gets... Well, I'm hoping it turns into a series for him on CBS and stuff, so...
That's incredible. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he,
Sorry, and you said you started the list, like, and I was like, now I'm talking again.
But like Nikki Glaser, Gabe Tia, and there's a lot of like just super great people that were in town, and a lot of people that, you know, moved on, and obviously.
Is Nikki from St. Louis?
Yeah, she's from town. Yeah.
Wow.
But obviously they've gone on to making some big deals. It's
shameful for not knowing that. She's so... I just saw Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer movie.
Oh, really?
Last night at a screening. And she's in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah!
Yeah, she's one of those, like I like everybody goes crazy about Amy, and I don't know, there's, you know, a couple of those lady female comics, and like I, but, you know, and that kind of like dirtier,
sure,
edgy female comic kind of stuff, Lisa Lampanelli or whatever, and that kind of...
Bridget Everett, have you seen Bridget Everett?
Mm-mm.
She's really
but
funny.
For me, it's Nikki.
Nikki, like,
Nikki is so great, so funny, and filthy, and I love the way she does it, though, like the way it's, you know, it's filthy, but it's also tasteful.
And she's demure, and she's got this, like, doe-eyed, like, right, thing about her.
But I just kind of, I think things are kind of getting there for her now. I don't think the Nikki and Sarah Live thing she did on MTV, I don't think that was really a good... fit for, I don't know.
Right.
I don't think that went well. Obviously, it's been canceled now. But,
sure.
But I hear like that she might be doing some stuff. She's, you know, she's on At Midnight a lot and kills
she's
it on.
She's on Amy Schumer, inside, yeah, Amy Schumer a lot. Yeah.
So hopefully all
just
that.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, she's so good. But I, you know, I used to get to see them pretty regularly, you know. Because they were here, they were always
here
working out material at Funny Bone and stuff. And
this is just a few years ago.
Yeah, this was, so right. I mean, Tommy, I remember being at the Funny Bone. Tommy was there with us, and when he was actually appearing on Last Comic Standing, so he would come in here like on off nights, working out material, and then he would go and do that set on Last Comic Standing. And then, you know, then he was second place on there, and then he, you know, ends up getting Letterman like 15
sure
times or whatever he did or
sure
something like that. Like,
yeah,
it was, so yeah, it was all happened just a couple years ago. So
wild,
yeah. But so anyway, a lot of those people, you know, gone on and moved out of town and stuff, and so we kind of had this kind of a
lull,
yeah, a lull there a little bit, but there's a lot of great things coming up now. There's a lot of really funny people in town that are starting a lot of shows. We got a lot of different mics around, like there's a lot, several open mics that have, you know, been popping up around town. There's there's one at Fitz's and Nick's Pub and Art Bar, and you know,
I should ask you where to go tonight.
Yeah. there's a lot of things, and it's fun to see that people are responding to it all again, and like that the comedy's coming back. And
that's
so
the thing, the talent is here in,
yeah,
St. Louis. It's a big city, and it's a great city just culturally to draw humor from.
Sure.
So.
And I mean, obviously people like Dave Chappelle. I mean, he's Dave Chappelle, but Dave Chappelle came to town and sold out 8 shows at the Pageant.
Unreal.
So people obviously want to see comedy.
Did Kevin get to open for him one night?
Bobby J. Cox.
Bobby J. Cox might be who I'm thinking of.
And Kenny Kynes.
Okay.
And then another, I think there was another guy. But obviously with 8 shows, like, there was, they had a couple different openers.
Was funny, man.
Yeah. But that's, you know, there's a lot, Pageant's been doing stuff.
Nick Swardson was in
Firebird
not too long ago.
Yeah, Swardson, was right year before that special came out. I just watched his he was working the material. I don't know if he had recorded it yet or was about to record it, but the special just came out a couple of weeks ago. And
mm-hmm.
So funny, though. He's
cool. Yeah.
He's so silly. but you know, there's then like I said, Firebird and Ready Room. A lot of them have been doing a lot of one night kind of stuff and a little
pop up shows.
Yeah, kind of more alternative to the Funny Bone weekends and stuff. But
it's how LA is really turning fast. Sure. It's underground comedy shows at random venues. There's a pizza place, DeSano's, on the east side that has like one of the biggest shows.
Yeah.
Or backyard shows.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Brouhaha?
Yeah, I heard the name.
It's going to be a huge thing. A few guys run it in LA, and it's a comedy drinking game.
Okay.
And when you get, it's in a backyard, and they have a projection in the front yard too. The overflow is just always the same. They don't announce the lineup till you get there. Basically, everyone, beer is unlimited, and comics are kept in the house, and they're given rules, or the audience is given rules. Like, if a comic does a funny voice, you drink. If a comic does this, you drink. If a comic says airplane,
yeah,
you scream as loud as you can and finish your beer. And they have like red lights on stage, so when a comic breaks a rule, like there, it's incredible.
Huh.
This show is awesome.
I listened to the About Last Night podcast with Adam Ray and Brad Williams a lot too, and they always do that, like you know, say something. I'm like, oh yeah, it's a drink two at home if you're playing, you know, long, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, not for Brouhaha, I don't think, but it's just,
sure,
they turn their show into a drinking
game.
Yeah,
it's genius.
It's kind of a joke through the running joke through the, you know, as you're listening along. And, but no, it's fun.
People who like comedy like,
sure,
to drink.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They go hand in hand.
Well, I had Charlie Winfrey and Frankie Chubb on the show a little bit ago, and they were saying, you know, that's one of the best things. You get a lot of free drink coupons and stuff like that. So
you absolutely do.
Yeah. So if you like to drink, that's a good business to be in.
It's how they pay you in LA.
Yeah,
if you're lucky, get a free well drink.
Yeah. It's gotta be pretty wild though. I'd have to go up there sometime just to take in some of the sights and try.
LA?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your comedy cup would overflow.
Right.
It's neat.
It was actually kind of funny because I guess we're kind of talking about basement shows. There, St. Louis, we had this in Central West End there. They had Brennan's.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been over there?
I don't know if I've been, but...
It's like a wine and cigar bar upstairs,
okay,
but they turned the basement into a showroom kind of deal. And actually, a couple years ago now, whatever it was, Greg Warren was another one that was coming up with Tommy and Nikki and all this. But he would do these sketch week kind of things. So he would go in and he would get all his buddies and they would knock out a bunch of these sketches. And I think he just put out a CD. I think he sold a lot of them to like Sirius XM and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they play them on the comedy channels, and they did well. And then they kept wanting more, and they finally put out like the album of a lot of this stuff. And I think they called it like something along the lines of like, but it had to do with like the hotel rooms. Like, it was like, you know, La Quinta or something like.
Sure, yeah.
The La Quinta sessions or something like,
uh-huh,
along those lines, because,
yeah,
they recorded a lot of them in the hotel rooms. And,
sure.
But they wrote these, you know, all these different skits, and Nikki was a part of it. And but I saw them all live one night down at while they were all in town, they booked the show in Brennan's. And so in the basement of Brennan's one night, I saw like Greg Warren, Josh Arnold, Nikki Glaser, Chad Daniels, Henry Phillips, Jamie Liso. The list goes on, and it's like, this is incredible. Like, I'm like, you know, some of like the 10 like favorite comics are all in this room.
Stacked, yeah.
And, you know, and there was like 25, 30 people or something in this basement, and it was just like, it was incredible. But they, you know, that, what I was saying was funny is because the Brennan's just popped up this week. I guess some magazine, I forget what magazine published it, but there was some kind of article, and it was like highlighting Brennan's for their comedy down in the basement, but the shows they mentioned are two shows that haven't been on in like 2 years now. Like, the guys haven't, like, so it was kind of
severely outdated,
yeah,
information.
So like, I guess they went on the website, and that's what Brennan's was even like, yeah, sorry, our website's out of date and all this stuff like that. But so a lot of the comics that you know, I follow on Facebook, they were kind of sharing it and laughing at it, that they highlighting these comedy shows in the basement, but that haven't happened since like 2013. So,
make a phone call, people.
Sure. Yeah.
Jeez.
But I guess it's some good exposure. Maybe they'll get something going in there again.
Brennan's might be worth it to look in, fly one of those guys back in.
Yeah. It was, so hopefully that was I loved it. It was kind of like this. When I was down there for that sketch week thing, it was like a wide kind of room and very narrow, and then they decided like kind of shift it because they realized it kind of more of like be better like a dive, like where the stage was at the end, and it was kind of a long narrow room that way. Sure. And it works out better. Like they got redid the bar situation down there and all this stuff, so it worked much better as a showroom. But like I said, I haven't been down there in a long time since Matt Conte did one of the shows down there, and he's moved to Costa Rica, so he's not even in the
Good move, Matt.
Yeah. He's got he started a family. He's got a baby, and moved to Costa Rica. That's where his wife's from.
Sure.
And
if not, that's just a
I was like, that sounds
awesome.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Life decision.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Matt.
Yeah.
On the baby.
Yeah, he wrote this WT Fatherhood blog.
What the Fatherhood?
Yeah.
That's clever.
And he wrote this blog, and he got some attention for it and things. But it was kind of crazy. I was just listening to Crab Feast, and they had some guy, and I forget his name now, but he started on as some kind of fatherhood blog like that, and it started getting some serious, heat, and I guess it spun into like some kind of series now, or some, all this. He's getting a lot of opportunities out of it, and it's like, it's crazy to think that your comedy writing can get picked up like that. And like,
I have buddies whose Twitter, like not their handles, but their Twitters are now books and development deals for shows.
Wow. What's that? I think that, what's that? Rob, I don't know. I know he was one of those guys that was like huge on Twitter. Like he was just crushing.
Oh, yeah.
Delaney or something?
Yeah. And he did Conan or Kimmel or something. Yeah. And like it did not pan out.
Yeah,
all Twitter jokes are meant for the stage.
But that is a craft, to be able to be funny in 140 characters.
It blows my mind sometimes.
But yeah, it doesn't always relate to an hour of stand up, That's kind of the whole thing too, like the guys like Dustin Diamond or whatever, these guys that were on TV, and then they come and now they're stand-ups and stuff like that, and they sell tickets because of their name, but they're not exactly comics.
Content. Yeah.
Right. I saw, even though he is a comic, but he's never been. But I saw Pauly Shore a while back at
Pauly Shore is a comic by like birthright.
Yeah. Right, but it was more he just told stories. It wasn't which I like stories, but it was just. Wasn't like a really set up punchlines and or anything.
Someone told me that they saw David Spade at some point, and he just kind of like quoted Tommy Boy and stuff like. Yeah, it was like we're like, wait, no, like we know that
Spade's one of the best comics though. I've seen his specials and stuff. He guy's a pro, but I don't know about that night. But,
Maybe it was a college show. Maybe he was just phoning it in for.
Well, I mean,
that's college.
Kids. I don't know. Yeah. I think if he went up there and did Tommy Boy quotes, I'd probably laugh.
Yeah.
That's kind of I've talked about how with buddies, there's this Sublime tribute band that tours called Bad Fish.
Okay.
And they're pretty popular, because obviously Sublime was popular. And they sound great, they play the songs great, but I don't know, it's really a weird show, because like it's not like you go to listen to them play the songs.
You're going
to just sing all the songs with them, so it's almost like a live karaoke.
Sure.
In a sense. Everybody knows all the words to all those songs, and they all sing along, so It doesn't matter what he sounds like because you can't hear him anyway, really. It's like,
I think cover bands are one of like the creepiest things ever. Because it's like a group of people have decided like they don't want to follow their dreams. Right. They want to follow like some other person's dreams.
This guy's already did it for us. Let's just do
that. Yeah, yeah. So, but I guess if you can make a living doing it, it's better than Burger King.
I forget what I was saying to somebody, but you know how that's not a option for comedy though. Like, you know, nobody could ever get up and do Mitch Hedberg's whole routine or whatever.
No,
you know,
it's like, or like Dane Cook's. Yeah,
it's like, but we'll for whatever reason we'll accept somebody doing a whole cover band, you know, stuff or whatever.
I guess it also just thinks that, like, comedy isn't as sought after as like a good like Sublime song. You know what I mean? But yeah, it makes sense.
Alright, well, we'll wrap this up, Zach. Man, it's been a lot of fun getting to chat with you and hang out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Oh, and if you or anyone want to come to see the short film, it's going to be this Saturday on the Washington University campus at Emerson Auditorium. Cocktails and appetizers at 6 p.m., screening at 7 p.m. Absolutely free, no charge. Bring your friends, whatever. The film's 11 minutes long.
Right.
And, you know, beer and wine. Yeah. And maybe some, like, hot dogs on a stick or something. No, but it should be fun. And I'd love anyone to come who is interested in seeing, like, a little new film.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's another off-subject thing, but you said hot dog in it. what do you think of that Pizza Hut hot dog
crust? Stop, bro. I'm only angry because I haven't tried it yet. I love a good pig in a blanket. I was raised on that. Yeah. Stick that sir to some pizza.
That's what I read, like, Gaffigan had a line on, and he said something. He was like, I've never been eating a pizza, and be like, you know, I could go for a hot dog. Like, or something like that.
Well, what I love is, like, in my head, they have one big circular hot dog that you could, like, hula hoop with or something if you took it out of the crust.
No, it's like 40 little minis. Like,
oh, no. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was, like, hot dog, like,
no.
Roll just going through it.
One hot dog ring.
Yeah, they just set down and then roll the dough over. I guess that'd be...
Yeah, it's like 40 little minis, like, laid in a row and... Yeah.
I mean, if you're challenging me to order one right now, challenge is accepted.
I think we need to. That's episode two. Part two.
Hot dog pizza and our trip to the hospital.
Yeah. That was a bad idea.
I stand by my decision.
One time I went to, just another food story, I went to Crown Candy here in town, and I got that heart-stopping BLT.
Oh, I think my brother just, he Instagrammed a picture of it. It's like a stack of bacon.
It's a pound of bacon on a piece of toast.
Get out.
It's, I went down there with my wife, and we we both got one. Like,
did you pick out the pig that they had to slaughter?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
A baby pig,
that's a real
shit.
Nice one. I get the sandwich, and, you know, for me, like, I like bacon, and I wouldn't think I would ever have to say it, but I think that was too much bacon.
Too much bacon.
Yeah.
It's a salty vegetable. I don't know. You know, it's a salty guy.
I end up eating the whole sandwich.
Okay, good.
I didn't want to be defeated by the sandwich.
Of course not.
I didn't want it to challenge me. And
kind of show that pig who's
bad. I downed the sandwich, and I just feel miserable. And we were actually, we took it to go, and we ate the sandwich in Forest Park, and we were going to go to the zoo, and I ended up walking around the zoo just, like, sweating.
Sweating pure, meat sweats,
Sweating pure bacon grease. And it's like...
Have you been to or heard of Fogo de Chao? It's a Brazilian chain. Mm-mm. They have them, like, in places like Vegas, and they, like, they sit you down, and if your card is green side up, these men just bring you meats and just, like, cover your plate with meats until you flip it over so it's red. But you basically eat so much meat that you get dizzy and then, like, have to crawl to your car in, like, a pool of, like, salty cured meat sweat. It's awesome.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic.
Oh, God.
All right. So you're all over social media. You got your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts, right?
Yeah.
People can follow you.
Zach Noe Towers for all of them.
Yeah.
Good luck finding that. But if you really want to, you'll probably find it.
Yeah. And if you are listening to this on Friday morning, come out to Pride Fest down at Soldier Memorial in St. Louis and
Bud Light Stage, 8:30 p.m.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this on Saturday, go back in your time machine, go to that show, and then come out to the film festival on Saturday night too.
Yes, Washington University, 6 p.m. Emerson Auditorium.
I said film fest.
We can play it like four times in a row, and you can pick which one you like the most.
Yeah. Well, if you have enough wine, maybe you're thinking maybe a different movie. And
exactly. Come for the wine, stay for the film. I know I would do something like that.
You go to like a, you know, something real nice out of the box wine or something.
Exactly. We're going to play Slap the Bag. Everyone, you know that game, right? No, okay.
I did this BYOB kickball league a little bit ago, and
that's how you get hurt.
It was interesting. I don't drink a whole lot, but you know that I'm not even for that league. I wasn't even drinking, but like there was this one team, and they drank a lot, and they started throwing me like these bottles of like American Honey, like the little shot bottles, and then like they're just like walking around with a bag of wine. They're like, "Here, take a shot."
No,
and I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm getting a little loopy by the end of this game. And like, I was like, these guys party way too hard for me.
American Honey and Franzia.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like it wasn't exactly the best combination, but.
But you're here today.
Yeah, I survived.
And you're stronger for it.
Yes,
you survived the bacon sandwich too. Good thing those were on the same day.
Yeah.
You'd be dead.
My journeys in food and alcohol. So, yeah, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go order that pizza, and we're going to go chow down on some hot dog stuffed crust.
Pizza. Sprinkles and potato chips on top. Ranch dressing.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thanks, Zach. This has been great, man. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thank you for having me.